Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zauber.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Good evening.
I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our band of the booth, Boothman.
Boothman.
Justin, did you momentarily forget your name?
I just went totally blind. As
blind?
Usual. Yeah.
What?
Anytime blind? I face an audience of my peers, I go totally blind out of white hot fear. The way of the actor.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a really great job so far.
Thank you.
Let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you, guys. Great. Well, you're like Tinkerbell. I am powered by your applause. So please keep it going,
speaking,
or I will die.
Do it for a solid hour.
Hour
of applause.
Charge up my batteries. It's a long week.
Speaking of applause and things we're excited about.
Great, good. Boy, you know what? Wow. In the news media, that's called a segue. And Alex Zauber is a master of it. Can we get a round of applause for Alex Zauber for that great segue?
And I want to mention, I don't know if you guys ever noticed this while we're going through lessons. If you ever watch CNN or anything like that, if they ever do a segue, they call it out on air.
Certainly. That's the best.
I want to stop the segue for a second and point out a segue. And then they have a graphic that comes up that says, segue alert.
Yep. Yeah. And that comes up on people's phones. It's great. Apple does it.
But very exciting news. We're pretty excited about this. This didn't happen last week. We didn't have a show last week.
Yeah.
We had to cancel because we were going to see a Man of Steel screening. And we'll talk about Man of Steel a little later in the show more specifically. Yeah. But the reason we were seeing the screening is we have a new show on the Nerdist channel.
Network. For those of you that have missed our faces, it's a video show along with audio.
Yeah,
so you get to see and hear us in action. We are reviewing the biggest summer blockbusters. We did Man of Steel first. We're doing World War Z, which will be up later this week. We already saw the movie. We won't tell you what we think of it.
You'll have to watch the video show.
You'll have to watch the video show.
That's what's called a tease.
Yep, that's a little tease.
On CNN.
A little tickle. I call it a tickle.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, it's called Comic Book Club's Biggest Summer Ever. It's going to be a movie review show almost every week this summer. So head to youtube.com/nerdist to check that out.
Yes, please.
We'll be having special guests. First episode, we had Pat Castles from College Humor and Mike Hartney, who from UCB and also a Superman superfan.
Superman, he is his name.
This week for with World War Z, we're going to have Craig Rowan from Comedy Central.
Adult Swim. He does stuff for Comedy Central, too.
He does.
Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, one of the main actors on that show.
Very nice young man. A little bit of business.
Just a little bit of business. You know, we like having fun, but we like to do business as well.
Yeah, there you go. When you're starting off a show, you want to start off with as much business as possible.
Yep.
Front weight it. That's
and now we're going to tell you our yearly earnings really quickly before we move to the show.
I made five. Yeah.
$7.
Let's bring out our amazing guest.
Yeah, guys.
Please do.
I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight. You probably know him as Strax on Doctor Who. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Starkey!
Yeah!
Welcome,
oh, come on
welcome.
Down. What a feisty entrance.
Hello.
Yeah. It's quite impressive. Quite impressive entrance.
Dan, thank you so much for being here.
So spry. Springs for legs.
Yeah, you are very spry.
Yes.
This is something, actually, people in the audience can see this. People at home may not know this. Strax. Very,
Yes, he's a squat little fellow.
Yeah, he's a squat little fellow. You're smaller than him.
Alex, play cool. Really.
I don't have the rubber feet.
Yeah, seriously. Alex, the giant god over here. Looking down.
If you watch our video show on Nerdist, you'll see that I'm a crazy jock.
Yeah, dude. Take off the strap,
I just meant, and I was actually watching the makeup demo that they do. Strax, very wide, no neck.
Yes, that's right.
I
have an actual neck.
Have an actual neck. Yes. Could you talk a little bit about the makeup process for those of you who don't know?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm into like the chair, so like for about 3 hours or so before
filming
starts. So it's a nice long day. So in at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's kind of like there's two pieces to my sort of like makeup, one of which is like a giant thumb with my face poking out. and then I can't hear anything because it's got about 2 inches of latex either side of my ears.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a mask that goes onto that and it gets glued onto my face.
Oh,
so the first time I had it glued on, it's like a different face in the mirror that moves in time with your face, but it's actually not yours. So that's very peculiar. And the first time
that's
I saw
cool.
it on, it's very strange, I kind of look like an obese Steven Seagal. which was quite strange. His
that's
face
great.
Resembled.
And that's the character sort of the same, right?
Yeah, as more Steven or less, Seagal, yes.
As think, a slightly overweight Steven Seagal. Yeah.
By the way, I just want to mention obese Steven Seagal is a little repetitive at this point.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow, jeez. You're coming out against...
you see on deadly ground, you guys?
Hey, the kimono still fits.
Once again, huge joke.
Yeah, even mind it. Yeah. So what do you do for those 3 hours while you're being made up?
I mostly sleep.
Are you serious?
Really?
You just
I've actually become quite adept at sort of dozing after a certain point when someone's like flicks paint in my face.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because quite a lot of it, most of it is actually sort of painting it up to make it look all sort of nice and real and stuff. So,
Let's take a little bit of a step back. What was your audition for Strax like?
Well, I'd sort of said to my agent a couple of weeks before, oh, look, there's a couple of programs I'd really like to be on. Could you get me on Doctor Who? That would be great. And I think it happened to coincide with a time when they were looking for actors of a certain height.
Yeah.
Because the Sontarans, the alien race that I play, are quite short, squat, menacing fellows.
And yeah.
They were looking for actors who were between like 5 foot and 5 foot 4, and I fitted the bill. So I, and yeah, I got the script through, and it was very exciting because, yeah, my agent sort of was sort of going, okay, Dan, yes, it's for an alien in Doctor Who. Here you go. I think the character's called Score. And I'm like, it's on Taran! And she went, I don't know. And I clearly outed myself there as a bit more enthusiastic than it's like it might have been for any run-of-the-mill job. yeah, when I went to the audition as well, they sort of said, have you watched the program before? Are you a fan? And I went, yes, just a little bit.
Just barely restraining your shaking
excitement. Because I was quite obsessed with it when I was a kid, so I felt like I'd done sort of like a good 30 years of homework on it. So it was
nice.
It was great. And
well, all actors do that much homework. I don't know. So I'm a classically trained actor as well, so it's great to finally meet a man of the same train.
You cannot say that when there's a real actor here.
We understand the grades. I'm sure we've all done the very similar. Yes.
You are ridiculous.
Yeah. I can see you're wearing the footless tights as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. He's actually talking about the craft. Could you
maybe we'll do a little Two Gentlemen of Verona at the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
Slip into it a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, where were we?
So you're in the audition.
Yes, and first they said, okay, could you read the part? And I did as like a rather a straight reading, just to show that I'm a proper actor and I can act a bit. And they went, okay, yeah, that's fine. Could you make him a bit more alien? So, right, how far can one push this? So it came out like this. Ooh. And they clearly liked it. So it worked.
Cool. Fairness. And it's a character that started off as a one-off and then has come back several times. Right?
Yes. Well, the good thing about the Sontarans are they are a clone race. So fortunately, they all look like me. So anytime
you'll work forever.
Yes, any number of times they can get killed, I can come back, and it's all terribly good. But most recently, they've had one character called Strax, who I've been playing, who's a bit of a subversion of the usual Sontaran template. That he's a Sontaran who is serving, because the Sontarans love war and they're very aggressive. And this Sontaran has been fooled by the Doctor on a certain previous occasion that we're not privy to. and he has to serve as a nurse, which is the greatest humiliation a Sontaran can endure. So help the weak and sick, which is not very nice for him. the first episode that I was in, it went down terribly well. And then Strax was actually killed in that episode, or so we thought. But liked him so much, they brought him back several times.
Your agent brought your character back to life, right?
Yeah, if only they had that much power.
Yeah.
And recently he's been paired up with Jenny and Madame Vastra.
Yes.
Which has been crazy popular with the fans.
Yes,
so what
absolutely.
Was that like, going from being like, well, you know, this is exciting, I'm on Doctor Who, I'm a Sontaran soldier, okay, I'm all of them. And now it's something that's almost like broken out into its own fandom in a way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, when we had the first read-through for the episode where Jenny and Vastra were the first time, A Good Man Goes to War, at the read-through we're going, they're really cool characters, they should probably have their own spin-off or something, saying as a joke. And then when they came back and I was with them, it was just nice having a trio of us all together. But it's great, I mean, because Niamh McIntosh, who plays Madame Vastra, we both go in at 5 at the same time in the morning. So we have a little bit of a 5 a.m. club in the back of the taxi when we get there. So it's like, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm quite tired. Oh, I'm quite tired too. she's great. She's a real trooper as well. And she's wearing a lot of rubber on her face like me. It's she can hear slightly better, but it takes a lot. Yeah, hers is a bit more fiddly to put on. So there's solidarity there.
Do you think there ever will be a chance of having a spin-off of Strax, Madame Vastra, and Jenny?
Who knows? Hope springs eternal.
All right, fair enough.
For those of you, Alex the Jock is full on crying right now. But their tears are really, like, muscular.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the 50th anniversary a little bit. As a Doctor Who fan, what have you been looking forward to? Like, beyond being involved in the show, what are you excited about?
I think it's a chance for this, like, the old series, the classic series, and like, the modern series to sort of, like, to sort of link up slightly. And we've already had it in the season finale. We've all had already had a bit of a homage to the previous Doctors in their exciting little ways. And I just want to be surprised by it, really. And I think it will be quite interesting. I don't know very much about it at all. There's just rumours that flown around on set. So I'm just looking forward to watching it like everybody else. Like with the finale as well. I had no idea that John Hurt was turning up as well. Because the only script, because they keep an incredibly tight lid on it.
Wow.
You know, it's very, very sort of secretive down in Cardiff. But the actual script that we got, and it finished with the Doctor jumping into his own time stream, and then that was the end of the episode. So the whole thing that, there's bloody John Hurt. That was
so you read the script and you're like, oh, this is a bad ending.
Sort of a
it doesn't really end.
Well,
okay.
It was obviously leading towards this, like the 50th anniversary special, whatever that may hold. But it was a bit more open ended. So,
are you going to show up at all before the end of the year?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Nice. Okay, that's good.
Great. Good. Vague. Let's talk about something you can talk about because it's out there. What are your thoughts on Matt Smith leaving the show?
Oh yeah. Well, again, that was a great surprise too. I sort of read about it on Twitter as I was going home one night on the bus. He's been a great doctor, but I can completely understand that he's very much in demand now. So I could imagine that if he's doing films with Ryan Gosling, as I think he is at the moment, then if push comes to shove, then you know his availability. Just with Doctor Who, it's such an amazing, all-consuming job that I can imagine it gives you a certain degree of profile, and then it gets more and more difficult to juggle other jobs which you want to do as an actor, along with being the Doctor.
So let me. Are you saying that Ryan Gosling is going to be the next Doctor? Is that what you were
maybe.
Saying?
Maybe I can't. Yeah, I'll
that's
have to
all.
Kill
you know,
you.
It's a rumor mill. That's Hollywood. I mean, British Hollywood.
What about Strax? Could Strax be the next Doctor? You think?
Maybe if something went hideously wrong with the regeneration.
Maybe Justin Tyler will be the next Doctor.
That's true. Ready to audition. Yeah,
he knows so much about Doctor Who already.
Certainly. Done a little bit.
What's your favorite episode of Doctor Who?
Oh, the one with the robot-y robots?
the robots, yeah.
The big
robots.
I actually have watched a couple episodes, but it's a dense show. And I haven't started from any sort of beginning point.
Yeah.
So I watched an episode where there was a giant robot run by a woman who's very angry.
Yeah.
And that was a good episode.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know what they're talking about.
They were talking about an angry robot.
Yeah. Well, see, I guess I did get it.
Yeah, there you go.
As a classically trained actor, I have an innate understanding of scripts.
Oh, God. So, here we go.
But let's talk about your other show you just had premiered, a kids show.
Yes.
Premiered in
Wizards
the U.S.
Wizards versus Aliens.
Wizards
versus Aliens, which does what it says on the tin, which is also written by Russell T. Davis, who brought back the revived Doctor Who. And it's also written by Phil Ford, who wrote The Waters of Mars, which is a great David Tennant episode. And that, I believe, is showing on a channel called The Hub.
The Hub.
7 p.m. on Saturdays. Nice. Eastern Standard Time, I think.
Great. You're nailing it.
Yeah.
There we go. That's a plug. Greenwich Meridian.
Quick interjection here, because I just found out about this the other day. You guys have British summertime?
Yes, we do.
Oh, which is the most adorable thing I've ever heard of. That's
what
amazing.
What does that mean?
Let him explain it, Alex.
In the winter, we have Greenwich Mean Time, because the meridian of Greenwich is like the center of all time in the world, as we all know.
Oh, amazing.
And then in the summer, because it gets dark, that gets dark very early. We have British summertime, which sticks the clocks forward by an hour. Okay. So in theory, we get more daylight.
Yeah.
And more sun.
We have it here. It's called daylight savings, which is like a bank. Well, you guys sounds like a real
summertime.
Party.
I think I was reading about it as soon as I found out about it, and it was because of the British Summer Act.
Really?
Yeah, which possibly? Also sounds delightful.
Yeah.
Much better than daylight savings.
Again, Alex Zalbin jocking it out with his time zone research.
You know Jock's always talking about how delightful summer is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how it is.
What's the time?
So, Wizards versus Aliens.
Yes.
So, you were saying that once again, you are covered in makeup for the
yes,
show.
Yes, I actually have clothes made of cloth in this one, which is great, because Strax has a rubber suit that takes a while to get into, and trust me, it's great having trousers that have a fly. in Wizards vs. Aliens, I play a character called Randall Moon, who's a hobgoblin, so I have wonderfully large ears and a pointy nose and chin. And Randall Moon will be talking like this, like all goblins will be talking.
Ah, very nice.
He has a massive cauldron, and yeah, he does spells, and it's great.
Cool. When I'm sure a lot of people who end up in makeup a lot get this all the time, but are you ever like, I want people to see my face?
Occasionally, when I'm in there at 4:30 in the morning, I think, you know, would it be nicer just to sort of go in there?
And let me just say for the listeners, like, it's amazing how much makeup you have on right now. Yes. I think that was sort of unnecessary. Yes.
But it's also like a free pass, because other characters in the show might get recognized and stopped a little bit.
You but know, you could kill whoever you want.
Well, yeah, you can kill whoever you want, which has got to be nice.
Just be like, it's Strax killing me. It's
actually,
cool.
In Wizards vs. Aliens, there's also Gwen is in that. Gwendolyn Christie, who's in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
She's an alien in it as well. And she's got huge amounts of prosthetics on, so even more than me, with a motor on her head and stuff. So it's
a motor on her head?
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
She's very cool.
Cool. And what's it like being part of that family? Sort of like Russell T. Davies being able to take care of you guys, put you on other shows. That must feel pretty good, I imagine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, they know my work, so that's quite nice. Nice to be appreciated in that respect. But it's great. I mean, because down in Cardiff, it's the Wizards is kind of a sequel to... it's in the same vein as the Sarah Jane Adventures, which was one of the other Doctor Who spin-offs, which was the more sort of one aimed at children. And then that finished because the lead actress playing Sarah Jane sadly died. And it's kind of following in similar footsteps. So it's got lots of staff who are working on that program. So there's quite a lot of continuity between it. So it's nice. It's a great thing about sort of doing children's television. There's not a great deal of cynicism in the people who write it.
Yeah,
you know, they actually want to be there writing it, which is nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now this might be almost too general a question, but taking a huge step back.
Okay. What is air?
Yeah.
How are houses?
Sure.
Yeah. How are houses? How are houses?
Fine.
Successful.
Good. Delightful.
Yeah.
You have
doing it.
Yeah. So you were saying you were a Doctor Who fan as a kid. Yeah. I mean, we have a pretty fair sense of what it was like to grow up as a geek here in America. But
certainly.
Growing up in the UK, what was it like? Did you read comics? What was the comic scene like as a kid? What's it like
now?
Yeah,
I did sort of dabble in comics. There are children's comics in the UK called The Dandy and the Beano that have been going since the 1930s or so, which in some ways reflects the material culture of the 1930s when I was a kid reading them, which is quite strange. But also there were reprints of old Marvel comics that I remember. So I think when I was 6 years old, I got a very first issue of the X-Men from the 1960s with, you know, the X-Men versus the Blob. And what else? There was Marvel's Secret Wars, I remember being reprinted as well.
Nice, yeah.
But they were printed into like the kind of British format, which is slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Than the it's like it's more.
So it was just like us growing up, but slightly bigger.
Yes.
Cool.
Just a bit. But so there were lots of little bits. The only thing was that I grew up in the countryside, and all the news agents, all the sort of shops that stocked all these places, they weren't very good. So you'd like try and get into something and try and like buy the issue every week, and it wouldn't be there. So there were lots of comic strips that, so like I'd read about the first episode and then the fourth episode and then the eighth episode. Yeah. So quite a lot of it was like making up the story in your head in between the issues, which is great.
Oh,
but
man.
Also I was very into the Doctor Who magazine comic strip as well, which was really sort of big in the 80s. And also bearing in mind that in the days before television and so like and so the internet and stuff, Doctor Who was only on for 22 weeks of the year or so, or sort of 14 weeks eventually. So actually having a comic strip every month was fantastic.
Filled in that gap.
Yeah, and lived in the imagination a lot more in some ways.
Has Strax showed up in the comics yet?
Not yet, to my knowledge. Mm.
Yeah, so I was looking, I was sort of researching that. There's been other Santorans, am I saying that correctly?
Santarans.
I could tell that I wasn't in the comics, but I noticed that your guy wasn't. But obviously, he will be soon, given the fan.
I imagine so, again. I wait to be appraised of it.
Now, Doctor Who being so powerful and popular, have you had some like really amazing like fan interactions where people come up to you and just been like, "Oh my God, I'm such a huge fan!" Like, is that still mean a lot to you? Do you get excited? Like,
here, I'll translate.
Yeah, please.
What's the craziest fan interaction you ever
had? Thank you.
Well, most of the time it's just people going up and sort of saying that they really enjoyed the episode and stuff, which is great. But I wrote one convention. We were doing some like question and answer sessions from the audience, and I think it was me and a chap called, and both of us had died in various episodes. And so I think the question from the audience was trying to ask, you know, you've died in the series, what was that like? But it came out as, how would you most like to die? So it was kind of, let me
Now
think.
I want to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I know. What did you say?
I think, yeah, I'll just put me in a microwave and bake me like a potato.
There, thank you, great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, I always wanted to know that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes, I knew that's what it was going to be.
Baked like a potato.
Have you ever had anybody in Strax cosplay come up to you and interact with you?
Not yet. I think because it's a pretty involved costume, and I think there's a lot of matter around it. But I've seen a guy tweeted me, with a Sontaran cosplay sort of costume, which is pretty impressive that he was sculpting out of clay and everything. So it's amazing the actual level of sort of commitment that people sort of do to constructing it. But
you're going to meet a lot of American Doctor Who fans this week while you're in town.
Yes, I may
yet see the Strax cosplay.
Who knows? Yes, maybe. I'm appearing with for Who York down in. I just have to remind myself of exactly where it is.
It's at the Stone Creek, I believe.
Stone Creek, that's right.
On 27th and Lex, if I remember correctly.
Whoa!
I know there some stuff.
Look at the big brains on Brad.
Yeah, great. What a jockey move for me to say. But yeah, that's going to be very exciting,
yes.
I imagine.
That's on Friday.
It's going to be crowded by a bunch of screaming Americans.
So there you go. If you guys are listening, head on down there in your Strax cosplay and break new ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah, break new ground.
And make sure you ask him how he wants to die.
Yeah, definitely. Let's make that a real recurring thing, if possible.
Great. Yeah, let's definitely push that.
You know what? Ask us how we want to die if anyone has any questions, because I've got a lot of big ideas.
If you guys know how you want to die, write us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com/howdoyouwantodie, and we'll talk about it next week on the show. Speaking of talking of other things, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack. And yes, Justin, that was a segue. All right, first thing we're going to talk about. This is Pete's pick, Batman number 21 from DC Comics. This is kicking off the zero-year storyline in Batman, going back to the beginning of Batman's origins. How many times could I say Batman in a sentence, Pete?
One more.
Yeah, one more, please.
Batman.
Thank you.
That was a separate sentence.
So I was a little nervous about this, but with Scott, I have certain...
Scott Snyder.
Yeah, thank you.
Scott. Let's go.
Back. Double S.
Scott Bakula.
Scott double T.
Has been Bakula. Doing an amazing job on this series, so I don't know why I was worried. But this started hugely, also a little confusingly... But it was a fantastic zero issue.
Sure, can I give
even
a
though
quick,
it's 21?
Quick rundown of what's happening. Yeah. So we start off in a post-apocalyptic wasteland where some kid is hunting for fish, gets attacked by a gang. Batman comes out in a steampunk motorcycle, chases them down, and you have no idea what's going on. Then we flash back 5 years, I think.
Five years.
To when Batman is not Batman yet. He's still Bruce Wayne. He's still figuring out. He's fighting the Red Hood, who may be the Joker at some point.
Yeah. He has, in fact, just gotten back to Gotham City from his wandering.
Yeah, there you go. And so we follow him as he slowly starts developing.
I don't know. I didn't get the steampunk thing. It was just Batman with a crossbow on his back.
Steampunk.
And then he was on a motorcycle.
It was a steam-powered motorcycle and a steam-powered crossbow.
I don't think that's true.
And he was listening to the Ramones.
Right. So. The Ramones?
I don't know.
Is steampunk?
I don't know.
It was just a motorcycle just with punk. A bat symbol on it. Why? I don't know where you got steampunk.
Dan, are you a Batman fan? Any thoughts on this book?
I have read. I read Batman Year Zero a long time ago.
Year One.
Year One. I've read. Yes.
This is
yes.
Year Zero.
Yes. This is sorry. This is
Zero Year.
Zero
even
Year.
Lower. So that means it's better.
yeah.
But it looks very interesting as a sort of reboot, reimagining of the franchise.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, your voice changed. It slipped into some sort of evil Dan. Yes.
Yeah. This is kind of their take. On Year One is the idea. Basically, they had the New 52 where they rebooted the DC Universe. Batman's origin, the way it was in Year One, didn't quite fit with the way they were doing it in the New 52, so they rejiggered it a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like Scott Snyder wanted to be like, this is my take on it. I'm writing Batman now, and he's gotten so much attention.
Why shouldn't
it's been
he?
So good.
He's
yeah.
doing, he deserves it.
And I think this is sort of almost purposefully disjointed. I think they're setting the stage, and the whole arc will start to pay off a lot of things that he's setting up. But I'm curious to know what his sort of stamp on it. From this, it's hard to tell, because it's not like Bruce Wayne is bad at anything. He's not like overly young or anything. He's just sort of, you're just sort of watching him move through the ways he's becoming Batman. So it's a little unclear
you're
what his take
sure
on
what the heart is.
What's the take on Batman's origin here? I'm not quite sure.
It's just, you know, it's the first issue. He's just setting things up here. All right, give him some time.
Do you feel personally attacked?
We also didn't mention the Riddler shows up here for the first time.
And I love the idea that the Riddler is going to be a central villain here. Definitely above having, because I feel like having Joker is a little easy and we've just done so much of that.
What I think this book does successfully is from the first pages, you open it up and you're like, what is going on here? But not in a confused way, in a I want to know more way.
Exactly, right?
So it's a really great setup of a first issue, even if it's not totally clear exactly what's going on at this point.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, it's a Riddler, so it shouldn't be totally clear.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It's a great point, Pete.
All right, we're going to move on with Justin's pick, which is Thor, God of Thunder, number 9 from Marvel Comics. So, Justin?
Is there a better, more epic comic out there right now? This is like, Thor has never been one of my favorite characters, but present company excluded. But I think this run is so smart and different. Jason Aaron made a lot of big choices here, combining, bringing the Thors from 3 different eras with really strong takes. Young Thor, who's very brash and doesn't know what he's doing and is jealous of not having a Mjolnir of his own. Modern day Thor the Avenger, who's like sort of knows where he's at and is still just sort of the workaday Thor. And then Thor the King, who is just depressed and over it. And they're all coming here to fight this great battle. And it's just amazing. The dialogue is great. The story is great. The art is amazing. It's just my favorite.
There's a line in here where he's, the villain's like, "You should have brought more Thor."
I know. It's funny. Like, the action's amazing. I just can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I agree. This run has been fantastic. Maybe one of the best runs on Thor since Walt Simonson.
Yeah,
it's a little early to say that. I think it's only been
Straczynski's run on Thor was also very good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No.
Yeah.
Justin, when you say that old Thor is over it, is he just like sighing a lot? And
he's like later. He's always on his phone. He's like,
so boring.
I'm so bored of this. When can we eat dinner?
Madman really jumped a shark.
Can we eat dinner?
That's what. When are we getting lunch?
I'm so hungry.
Well, older as people age, they get you eat at different times.
Oh, yeah. I'm starving to death. LOL.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I've read your Twitter feed, Pete. So you're liking this as well?
Oh man, yeah, it's phenomenal. It's been a big build up for this particular issue, and I think it really pays off really nicely. A lot of great action. It was a little sad though with the last page. You're like, no, the back guy can't win.
It's gonna be fine.
I mean, we've had too much of that bullshit already.
Who's your favorite Thor?
I like the young Thor.
The young Thor. Alex?
Medium Thor.
Medium Thor?
Yeah.
Interesting. I like old Thor.
Look at that.
We're different people.
Sorry, Thor who's just right.
Yeah, exactly.
Goldilocks of the three Thors.
I know, you're the Goldilocks. Boy. Of the three of us, you're definitely the most
Goldilocks.
There we
go. And Thor is also Goldilocks. Were you a Thor fan at all?
I think I came across him in other sort of like comics, like in Secret Wars, I think he made a appearance. Mm-hmm. But actually, I did my degree in Old Norse, amongst other things as well, so I read about him in Old Icelandic and stuff. God of Thunder with his hammer, Mjölnir, if he was a white.
Very good. Very well pronounced.
Wait, do that again. Do that again.
Mjölnir.
Oh, man. God. You have clearly tried to lift the great hammer on your own.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
That
we're
is
nothing
on.
Like how I pronounce it, so I feel like.
No. Yeah. He has a click or something.
Yeah.
A god is speaking through his mouth.
When you were a kid, did you pronounce it in your head Mjolnir?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Mjolnir, too.
I had
just
nothing
like, just the
to
worst.
That going on in my head.
Wait, what was yours?
It was like Mjorn.
Mjorn? Mjorn? That's pretty good. It's actually, everyone that I know says Mjolnir or Mjolnir or whatever.
There we go. Let's move on with my
It's
pick.
A cool hammer by any name, right? Yes. That's great.
Manhattan Projects, number 12 from Image Comics.
Alex's
pick.
And all of you guys should be reading this. If you're not, this is an amazing book by Jonathan Hickman, bringing together, sort of showing the secret history of the Manhattan Projects. All of these scientists, this is back at the beginning of the series, and it's developed beyond that, and I'll talk about that in a second, but all of these scientists who formed the Manhattan Project said, hey, we're going to develop an atomic bomb so that everybody would look at it and say, wow, that's the most awful thing I've ever heard of, so that secretly they could be doing even more awful things.
Yeah.
And then under where they're developing the atomic bomb, they're invading alien planets, developing robot drones that can attack Japan, all of these things, and everybody is... horrific.
And also very mystical, like there are all these like chanting.
Yeah, so like Oppenheimer.
I love chanting.
Yeah, in the first issue, Oppenheimer isn't actually Oppenheimer. He's Oppenheimer's evil twin who ate and consumed Oppenheimer. Yeah. Albert Einstein is also a total
horrible
bastard.
Drunk, violent.
This is the best I've ever seen Einstein. This is just
Einstein's.
I'm only reading this for Einstein,
this is a documentary. This is
really
how
quickly.
Actually was.
What do you think's better, this book or that poster where Einstein goes?
What
do you think?
That's a tough one. The last page on this issue was amazing. It was like stuff, Einstein with the chainsaw.
Well,
thank you.
Very quickly, and that is an amazing last page.
Yeah.
The
thank
thing
you.
That's so fantastic in particular about this issue is they weave back through the entire series and show us things that have been secretly going on while the action we know is going on, as Fermi turns out to be an evil alien drone who's trying to destroy the Earth. Yeah. His friend, oh my God, I'm blanking on the name.
The guy made of radiation.
Yeah, the guy made of radiation. So there's a skeleton made out of radiation
who's
his best friend. Fermi destroys him, or thinks he destroys him. This radiated skeleton comes back from the moon to stop
wearing
alien
boots.
Wait, can you say that sentence again?
Radiated skeleton comes back to the moon.
Thank you.
Wearing
boots.
Oh,
was that for your ringtone?
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
People are downloading it
cool.
crazy.
So it comes back to the moon to fight this alien. But the thing that's so wonderful about it gives it that extra layer, is they are best friends.
Yeah.
And it breaks the skeleton's heart, or lack of heart, to stop his best friend. This is an amazing issue with so many things going on in it.
This is the best. This series keeps getting better and better. This is Hickman, I think, at his best, where it's like complex, but also now he's telling. I feel like there are some issues where he's laying so much groundwork. Now he's really telling the stories and getting the characters, and this issue was amazing, top to bottom.
Yeah, I also want to very quickly mention Jordi Belair's colors on this series, because she comes up with different color schemes for every single one of the scientists and all their doubles and everything, and it makes the book. I mean, Nick Patara is the artist. He does a fantastic job as well, but it's really Jordi Belair's colors that differentiate this art beyond
and
anything
else. And
you
don't normally shout out a color, you know, so it's
shout
nice.
Shout out to the colorists.
That's awesome.
Colorists,
yeah.
Put your hands together. And it's gotten Pete really interested in science.
Yeah, I'm really into
there
science.
There you go.
Look
Pete
at
actually made a baking soda volcano right after the interview.
Just for kicks.
Yeah. Last thing we're going to talk about, extra pick for you guys, Superman Unchained, number one from DC Comics. This is also from Scott Snyder, but
the
art
only guy
by
clapping.
Jim
All
Lee,
right.
who you guys might have heard of.
Under-applauded.
So this is not so much a pick as a discussion.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Man of Steel in a little bit. So this is, I feel like we want to talk about this because this is very clearly a Superman book that is supposed to bring in people from the Man of Steel movie. I thought it's very much written toward the movie, I feel like.
Yeah, it's surprising that they tried to do that because in this book, at least, he's not a total dick.
Yeah. Well, save some of that for the movie. Or you could watch the show that we did on Nerdist where Alex straight up called Superman a dick.
Yeah, which is a little weird.
Hard K. But in this, it's in the current continuity, but I feel he's acting a lot like Henry Cavill in the movie. He's doing things that Henry Cavill
British,
was doing.
British, bad teeth, lots of chest hair.
Exactly. Careful.
We
have a British man with a lot of chest hair, to be honest.
Yeah. ain't nothing wrong.
The thing that surprised me the most about this was the art. I feel like the art looks like it was wrong. Are you singing over here?
I was singing about chest hair, yeah.
Well, what was this song?
Ain't nothing wrong with a little chest hair.
And guys, that's our review of Superman Unchained. Yeah.
Well, that does sort of apply to Henry Cavill as well.
Yeah, he had a lot of chest hair
What'd
in the
you
movie
think
and also
book,
the comic. What I'd like to say about the book is you got a free poster. That's the only thing I was like, hey, cool.
Oh, yeah, they're... DC did this weird thing, for those of you who haven't picked it up, where like the fourth page folded out to be double-sided.
Yeah, there's a lot of double-sided tape in this book.
And well, there is a little. It came with little bits of glue in it.
Yeah, it did.
Which was ridiculous.
I don't feel like I minded this book quite as much as you guys did. It actually feels very structurally similar to Batman Zero Year. The first issue,
yeah,
which
thank you
bothered
thank you
me a little bit. It felt like
too
it was
similar.
Recycling slightly,
yeah.
But there's some interesting ideas in here. I think there's stuff that I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Oh yeah, visual bits. Yeah.
Just some great work.
Thanks, Dan Starkey. Yeah.
Sorry, listeners at home.
Way to juggle that microphone, by the way.
There you go.
What I was saying before, I was surprised. The art feels really rushed. And this has been such a book that everyone's been looking forward to. And Jim Lee on the art, it feels like he was doing something else.
Maybe he just did one of those sped up art videos for this issue.
Yeah, and people love seeing those.
There you go.
I thought it was solid. I didn't dislike it, I guess, as much as you did.
Was he truly unchained?
Ooh, I don't know. It seems like they're talking about the evil version of Superman that is in...
Oh, yeah, spoiler. There's an evil version of Superman.
Well, he doesn't say evil. He just says Superman.
There you go.
Who says I'm evil?
Lex Luthor, Dr. Doom.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people.
A couple of people. Pete.
Pretty much all people, yeah.
Evil people?
Yeah. Nah.
Hitler occasionally.
Oh.
His famous speech where he's like, I'm evil.
What?
Yeah, that was Richard Nixon.
Why is,
that
was Nixon. Why is Hitler a robot in your world?
That was,
I am evil robot Hitler.
Oh, Richard Nixon's famous campaign speech where he said, I am evil. Please vote for me. Hey, we fell for it.
We did. Yeah. It works. Totally works every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I am evil means, I am good.
It means sexually attractive.
There we go. And that's it for the stack. Yeah. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Hey. Boothers.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guy.
Hey. I missed you guys last week.
Aw.
Hey, no whispering. It's weird.
What?
Don't whisper. It's uncouth.
Boothman.
Make this as awkward as possible.
This is every all you have to do is do this little
bit. I got
bit.
This weird wart on my butt.
Let's see
I hope
it.
That's a question.
So, yeah. What do I do about this weird wart on my butt?
Thanks for coming to Four Doctors, our podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I believe this is for our guest.
We'll see.
But right. I will not make
we'll
that
decision.
We'll
be the judge of that.
Yeah. Do you approach each Santorin differently? Not Santorum. Right? Yeah. Not Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum. No,
yeah, could you
Santorum.
Do a quick Rick Santorum?
I don't know what he talks like.
Yeah.
To avoid it,
like an idiot.
Yeah. No, we try
I'm
to
Rick
avoid
Santorum,
him, too.
I am evil.
I am evil, yes.
Yeah. We tend to get so political on this show.
Yes. Well, the Santorans, they're kind of, obviously they're clones, so they've got to be quite similar. And the costume does give you quite specific parameters as to how they behave, but
you can't do the dancing Centauran.
No, the mincing Centauran doesn't really read. Exactly. No. It depends on the script really. If there's like the first one I played, Commander Score, he was a bit more of a psycho. He just ran around sort of laughing and shooting people, which was great fun to play. And
yeah, Strax, what was your favorite that you played?
I've grown to know Strax better and love him. Yeah, as like a brother, like a psychotic brother.
Aww. Lovely.
Who I wouldn't really want to meet or hang around with.
A brother you don't like.
A brother nonetheless.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, actually, this is a little bit of a side thing, but before the show we were talking about, there's a video up on BBC's YouTube page, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Where you're interacting with kids as Strax.
Yes.
Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was a launch event for the children's comic in the UK called Doctor Who Adventures. And it was the Doctor Who Experience, which is a big sort of like visitor center next to the studios in Cardiff. And I was in character and in costume as Strax. And it was an audience of 6 to 12-year-olds or so. And they were asking me various questions. And we'd sort of had a vague idea as to the kind of questions they would ask. So, I had a chance to prepare slightly. But then, because they're children, they do occasionally surprise you.
Yeah.
So things like, what do you have for your tea?
Yeah. Are you colorblind?
Yes. How'd you go to toilet?
Yeah. And you had great answers.
Yes,
you had great incontinuity answers for everyone.
Yes, bits of it didn't make the final edit. So.
Cool. But what was the... Did we answer the question?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, good.
There you go. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics.
All
Let's
right.
get the next question.
Who should have been in Man of Steel that wasn't, and it can be an actor or a fictional character?
Oh, boy.
Oh, interesting.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, great. great answer.
No.
That would have...
Yes.
Clark Kent is the...
I don't want to call him out, but writer Dan Slott says
Clark
Kent.
Great. Yeah. That's a great point. I would like to see, especially, this is a little spoilery, so button up your ears if you haven't seen it yet, but Lex Luthor, especially a post-credit sequence with Lex Luthor is what
man.
I expect.
I'm hoping Lex is in the next one, man.
Yeah.
His company was. Isn't that enough for you?
Yeah.
Nope.
No. I love any corporate thing is fine. I just want to see like what's their balance sheet like? What are their latest products they're sort of marketing?
I hope they have another fight sequence in IHOP. That would be amazing.
That'd be great. If the next movie was called Man of Finance, I think that'd be
exactly.
Well, what do you guys think? Who should have shown up in Man of Steel? Who did?
Well, not to be too complainy, but Jimmy Olsen would have been fucking nice. Oh, sorry.
There was Jenny.
I know. I don't
intern
know.
Jenny.
Yeah, intern Jenny.
Who was a rude asshole to Steve Lumpard at the end of the movie after he tried to save her life.
We're going
to
talk about this in a couple of minutes.
Anyway.
Have you seen
Man of Steel yet?
I haven't yet, no.
Okay, well, buckle up. We're going to ruin it for you.
Yeah, very probably.
Or you can run into the other room in a little bit.
Let's go, la, la, la. Yeah,
yeah, there we go.
As far as characters, I don't know. It's hard to say. I thought the cast was actually pretty good.
Really, really well casted, I thought.
So I'm hoping
they have more, or I should say better stuff for Lois Lane.
Yeah, it seemed like she was a little underdone.
More reporting.
Yeah, I want to see, like, what are her bylines like?
Yeah, like, while Superman's doing all the finance stuff, she could work on, like, typing some stories or something like that.
I don't want to see a sequel. I want to see a PowerPoint presentation. Like, a really good PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, well.
We'll see a lot of pitch meetings.
Huh?
Nothing. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Awesome.
Let's
get
the next question.
And, like, before, I think this is for our guest, but...
We tend to take charge.
Exactly. Do people recognize you on the street, and do you get called a potato head often? Alex, do you want to answer that, too?
I mean, let's be honest.
I call him potato head all the time.
Yes, I don't. Dan, I think that's for you.
Not usually, but once there were a group of fans, John Sim, who plays the Master in Doctor Who, who's the Doctor's nemesis, one of his nemeses, he was doing a play in the West End, and there was a group of Doctor Who fans sort of like waiting outside with various things for him to sign, and some of them recognized me and ran after me with various pens. They're very keen on their pens. And
get the potato head!
Yes, and sort of, and gave me things to sign there, so it was quite a happy, rare occurrence for them to sort of like... Catch a Sontaran in his natural habitat.
Yeah.
But so far, no one's actually said that me without the makeup looks like a potato, so it's good.
That's good.
Well, that's a compliment, to not recognize you.
What about at something like Gallifrey One out in Los Angeles, which obviously has a very concentrated,
very concentrated
number of
Whovians
out there?
Yeah.
It's someplace like that. Can you go and people recognize you or same thing?
Yeah, well, it's funny, actually, because the first day, because the opening ceremony was on like towards the end of the first day, and I was walking around with Neve McIntosh, who plays Madame Vastra, and, of course, both of us are in loads of prosthetics. And then people were sort of just going, they look vaguely familiar for some reason, can't quite work out. Little man and a very tall Scottish woman. So, but then as soon as we were introduced, they sort of like, it was kind of like the parting of the waves, and it was, we were mobbed. It was like the Beatles. It was great.
Cool.
Very cool.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Don't you think making a character who doesn't kill into a killer in a movie would be just like doing a Punisher movie where he just arrests everyone?
Interesting.
That's a great point.
Interesting sort of vaguely referential question.
They
we
didn't
won't
mention
talk about
what
that.
Movie.
Oh, okay. So somebody's already seen Monsters University.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that eyeball guy wrecks everybody in that movie.
His name is Mike.
Sully straight up kills Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski.
How does this set up for Monsters, Inc.? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Pete, how would you feel about it?
I would feel very upset and want my money back.
Now, would you be like, would you be just screaming the word kill in the movie theater?
Yep.
Okay, well, that would be the end of Pete, I think, if that happened.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And before we wrap up audience questions, so we are being very nicely sponsored by Tours for Fun, who do a New York superhero walking tour, which is very cool. You can see sites like where Spider-Man was filmed. You can see where the Fantastic Four operates, where some of the major sites in the Marvel Universe, and also things that were filmed for the DC Universe as well throughout. So, Dan, here's what we'd like you to do. We would like you to choose what you thought was the best question.
Your favorite question.
Your favorite audience question. Like the best one. Who's the smartest and the prettiest?
No, well, that's what we're bordering on. Right, let's just say favorite.
What's your favorite question?
And just
they are
going
to get two tickets to the New York Superhero Walking Tour.
Yeah.
Which includes sites from the Avengers, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah. No, recap the questions.
The whole deal.
Yes, let's recap the questions.
All right. So we had, do you get called Potato Head?
Yeah. Maybe not the best. Maybe right. not Maybe but not a big contender. Cool.
We had Pete's question about the Punisher.
Yeah. Versus Punisher Superman movie.
Versus unnamed other movie.
Yep.
Right.
We had, what was,
Maybe Boothman could recount
them. Yeah, maybe
them.
Boothman could help out.
Instead, Boothman's just screwing around in the back. And then Boothman just playing games in the back.
Sir, what was your question?
No, we had the question about Boothman being recognized.
So it's the Potato Head question, the killer question, Man of Steel character that wasn't in it, and do you approach every Santorin differently?
Yeah, Santorin.
I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, and you got to deal with it, Dan Slott.
Yeah, we know. Great call out.
This is awesome.
If you can put someone's brain in another person's brain, I can say a word weird.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Wow.
Yeah! Right.
Wow.
This is just a word to the wise for those of you listening at home. If you come to this show and are in the audience, we will abuse the fuck out of you.
We don't give a shit who you are.
I feel like this is like a Sally Jesse Raphael talk show has erupted here. Pete's chanting in the crowd.
So with that prelude out of the way, Dan, your favorite question.
I liked the one about the first one, whether I approach different Sontarans.
There we go. Exactly. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get two free tickets to the New York Superhero Walking Tour.
It's
That's
very
it
fun.
For audience questions. Thank Woo-hoo! You, Boothman! Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Oh, boy.
Yes, there
and
it is.
In the Week in Geek, even though we've touched on it extensively, we only have one topic. That is Man of Steel. Came out the past week. So let's talk about it. I know we've already talked about it on our video Nerdist review show, right. youtube.com/Nerdist. Check out Comic Book Club, biggest summer ever. Plug.
Wow, that's what we call a plug.
But what did you guys think? Has it changed since the raw feelings of that filming a week
well,
ago?
Well, it's funny. It has. I feel like I have grown more frustrated with the movie as the week has passed. Because it was, watching it, I really like the first half. It's very dazzling. The fight sequences and everything are mostly very good. But the ideas that stick with you, I feel like, as I think back on it, are just wanton destruction, just savage loss of life, and that which Pete clearly is loving, the joylessness of it, the way, like, I feel like the relationship between Lois Lane and Superman was, there was no real time for them to develop, and in rewatching the older Superman movies, it was so much about their relationship, and we get it watching them fall in love.
You don't think him cauterizing her wound in an alien spaceship is romantic?
I mean, that's how I met my girlfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is romance?
If somebody did that for me, that's the sort of girl that I would kiss on a wasteland in the middle of a metropolis that was destroyed.
Boy, it'll be a great story at the wedding when... Jenny Olsen is the best man, or however it works. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we first kissed on a pile of human bodies.
Oh, I mean, remember That's Zod? Remember Zod?
Yeah, that was fun.
He was so
that
crazy. Was oh, Zod, could you stand up? Oh, he's not there because he was murdered by the crew.
I don't believe in killing, but I killed him.
So let's talk about that.
He was my first.
Let's
you talk about the end of the movie?
Let's talk about the ending of the movie. I'm sure, I hope you've all seen it because we've already spoiled it, but... what happens is Zod, it's at the end of a long sort of Matrix Revolution.
It's a long day.
Matrix Revolution.
Superman's super
Superman.
Tired.
Superman's irritable. His blood sugar is low. Let's be honest. And he is he hasn't been able to sit down, kick his feet up, puts his super slippers on.
Have a protein bar or even like a Snickers.
A Luna bar. That's okay. Yeah. Even
Something
though it's sort
at
of
IHOP or maybe it's Sears.
I eat Luna bar.
It's too bad he didn't fight through any of those establishments.
Yeah, exactly.
Fight.
Hey, Zod, Snickers break? Okay, cool. So they land in sort of a Grand Central Terminal type building, and
which some might call Grand Central Terminal.
Well, it's not though. It's in Metropolis.
It's Metropolis,
but it's actually
which
it was.
Is in New York City.
No, I don't think it actually was. It was just made to look like it. Oh, okay. But anyway, Zod is.
I think it was actually the building from the end of Dark Knight Rises where Batman fights Bane.
Yeah, it sort of, sort of was. Yeah. Anyway, so Zod has got his heat vision trained on.
Trained?
Huh?
Pointed at. It was.
Yeah,
it's
it was
the same word.
Shooting
means pointed.
Okay, yeah, right. Sorry. Great. I wasn't referencing Train the Band. Is that
no, I was just like, it's not like he was working on training his eyes to point at.
No, but trained is pointed at.
I spent a number of years as a sniper, and I've trained my gun. Yeah. Sorry, I will murder you. The band train, Zod's about to kill. They're like, meet Virginia, and he's like, I will murder you. And Superman's like, I can't let you murder Train. They're my favorite band. So Zod is about to kill a family, and Superman's like, well, I guess the only solution is to snap his neck. He does, kills him.
Or maybe point his face in the opposite
fly
direction.
Away. Okay.
Right. Falls to his knees, and a single tear goes down his face, and then we cut away.
Right, and then we cut away, and then he's pretty happy.
No. He cuddles Lois.
Cuddles.
Yeah. Cuddles.
So the point is, though, is this good? Is this satisfying? Is this what anyone wanted?
No. Okay. All right. There's been a bunch of stuff that's been brought up over the past week. Specifically, two things. One, in Superman 22 and John Byrne's run, and I like the fact that I automatically pushed my glasses up at my nose when I said
they almost pushed themselves.
Yeah, Laban.
That was a total unconscious reflex. In Superman 22, Superman kills Zod. That said, alternate universe, Zod has killed billions of people at this point. Superman, anguished, leaves for multiple issues into space and exiles himself from Earth. Also, in Superman 2, people were like, well, they killed Zod then too. But to be fair, and I've tried to find the scene, so I haven't been able to watch it, but he throws them into a black hole, right?
Yeah.
Like, he isn't, like, physically, like, ripping their intestines out or anything. So when I saw that, it never occurred to me that he had killed them.
Right.
Seriously, he just threw them in a black hole. They're Kryptonians with fire out of their eyes.
They push them down a crevice, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, a crevice.
That's fine. That's safe.
But in the Richard Donner cut, they lead them away in handcuffs.
Well, and I think the point is, though, like, those are, like, still sort of killing, but it's a little bit vague, and it's a little bit like, oh, whatever happened. This is so savage, and so it's just, he does, I mean, I've read a couple, Chris Sims had a great review that he put up, and he talks about how Superman killing Zod at the end makes Zod right.
Yeah.
Superman just, Zod's like, one of us is going to die here, it's the only way you're going to stop this. And Superman's like, we'll see about that, and he's like, oh, you're right, snap.
Yeah, and do you guys think it was in poor taste that after he did it, he yelled, oh, snap?
I mean, it was a little weird, and the actual snapping was a little much, but it did lead to a great musical number by Train, which I thought was
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I totally agree with you. I think that the problem with it, a lot of people have brought this up as well, that in that movie, everybody would have been better off if Superman died on Krypton.
Yeah,
there is no world where Superman dying on Krypton didn't make everything better.
I tell you what, Pete in the back of the bus wouldn't have been better if he died.
Oh, old Dick Splash Pete, as he's known?
Yeah, he would have died, and a bunch of kids would have died in that school bus.
Yeah,
so.
But Pa Kent would have been happy.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Pa Kent would have been like, I'm one with the tornado now.
That was the worst scene in almost any movie I've seen.
Yeah. I don't know. That didn't bother me as much. It was a little goofy, but it was at least there was a principle behind it. That's why I felt like the end of it, like that move supported Pa Kent's values.
Can I interrupt for a second? And I don't know if this is calling you out too much, but there's actually something that I've been dying to ask Dan Slott about this movie.
Oh, shit.
Hi, Dan Slott.
Hasn't he suffered enough?
Yes. No, you've seen Man of Steel, right, Dan? have you not?
No, but I've heard everybody spoil.
You have heard everybody spoil? Okay. All right. Never mind. We'll talk after you've seen it. All right. Well, okay. There's a scene in the movie. There's a scene in the movie where Clark is being, not terrorized, but being bullied by this trucker in a restaurant. Right. Trucker dumps a beer on him, does some other things, and Clark walks away. And then the trucker comes outside and sees that somehow his truck has gotten impaled on multiple logs and left there. And seeing that scene, that struck me exactly like the scene, I think it's in Superior Spider-Man number 6, where Dr. Octopus takes a dude's car and turns it upside down with him in it. Yeah, with a guy in it. That's all. It just struck me that I was like, well, he's kind of like...
But you were indicating a villain inside a hero's body. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think to what you said in our other review...
If you couldn't hear it, by the way, Dan Slott confirmed that Doc Ock is a dick.
Superman is a dick. And what I think even beyond that, to make it more literal, I think Superman's a bully in this movie. He's a bully throughout the movie, and he doesn't win.
Well, the thing
doesn't
that he does
win.
At the end, after he kills Zod... He screams for like a second, and then we cut to a scene where he throws a satellite at a drone,
topical,
in the U.S. Army. He throws it at him and is like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I'm doing my own thing.
If I may, I felt like they tried to make different choices with this Superman, and the Pa Kent moment where he gives Superman the hand and is like, cha, no. You stay there while I die. Was kind of made to be powerful, but also was very upsetting that he would save a fat kid on a bus rather than his own father. And then I really had a problem with the amount of destruction Superman was causing for Metropolis.
It's kind of upsetting to watch,
right? Didn't care. It was really hard. I mean, in comics, we read a lot about destruction and stuff, but it was like, there was no moment where he was like, hey, maybe I should try to throw him away from all this.
Well, you know what it feels like? It feels like they skipped those little... They wouldn't have taken too much time. Just Superman fighting Zod, but not shoving him through buildings.
Yeah.
You know, if Zod shoves him through buildings or he pushes him away from a building, he uses his heat vision to stop some rubble, saves anybody.
Yeah.
In the movie at any point.
But there's
no gesture
to it.
Exponentially better.
Yeah, I also really wanted... After they trash the place for the to pan out, and you see Superman just being like, "This guy's an asshole." Like Batman in the top hand corner just shaking his head, being like, "Wow, this guy really needs."
Batman calling Superman.
Yeah,
an asshole.
Being
Batman
like,
being like, "I'd never do that."
Yeah, it'd just be like, "Wow, this guy needs
just,
to learn
I
how
would
to
just shoot
handle
a lady
himself
until she kills herself."
I mean, if you're gonna snap his neck,
jump off a train until he kills himself, or I just drop him until he kills himself.
Yeah.
Either way,
we all have different methods, I guess.
What a dick. And Wonder Woman would be like, when do I get a movie?
Please.
The tiniest Wonder Woman.
Yeah. And I also think there's a lot of real Jesus metaphor that was really sort of awkward and poorly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, all that heat vision. Yeah. Like, you know, we all know a lot about the biblical portrayal of Jesus. So, like, the heat vision. The flying, the coming from another planet.
Krypton.
Where everyone had to sit down in rows and then pass their money to the right.
That
was weird.
Was a little much. And all the cracker eating, which is unnecessary.
Do you think, given all the Jesus metaphors, that in the second movie they have to do Doomsday because that's the death and return of Superman? For the second book of Superman.
I think just go all the way. Put him in a robe, beard, have the whole thing. Let's just see if everyone can get on board.
Yeah. Not to make this totally negative, what are some things that you liked about Man of Steel?
The first, like he was saying, like the movie started amazing. The Kryptonian stuff was phenomenal. I was very giddy, enjoying myself for the first half of the movie. I really enjoyed it.
I liked Henry Cavill. I thought, like I said earlier, the cast I thought was really good.
Feyora is great. She was even a better villain than Zod. Just that actress, whatever her name is, which I cannot pronounce, she nailed it. She was the way she moved. Two was very cool. The way
you
like
the way she moved.
I like the way she moved.
Cool. That's good.
More singing.
Hey, anytime we can connect with an audience.
There we go. All right, guys, that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
We're gonna move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're gonna turn it over to Peter M. LePage.
Peter LePage.
The M stands for Man of Steel, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Man of Steel.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25. Who would like $25? A simple raising of the hand. Yes,
you first hand up, guy.
Come on up.
Awesome, come on up.
How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get all three of them right, and you
love
win
your
20.
Slippers, man.
Oh, well, thank you. You love my Punisher slippers? That's very nice of you to say. So this week's trivia is This Week in Comics. So if you read read all the comics this week, you'll have no problem with these.
Oh, good, because I'm like 2 weeks behind.
Oh, awesome. All right, cool.
Okay, great. So, just guess.
Yeah. Here we go. Question number one. In Batman number 21, we see a kid fishing where? Is it A, in a subway, B, by a lake, or C, an LexCorp oil tanker? So it's either A, which is correct, in the subway. Or it's B. Don't pick B.
Yeah, then it's A.
A is great! Nice, nice job! Correct.
A,
I don't know
A
how you got
that. A is great.
A is great. In Walking Dead number 111, Negan
spoilers
teaches someone they had blank all along. Is it A, class, B, guts, or C, neck snapping abilities? If you can, if you would just do it earlier instead of trashing a whole city, then do it. If you have that power, use it.
Oh, wow, really tough.
Don't trash a whole city. That doesn't make any sense.
You wrote all that down.
So it's either A or it's B, guts.
It's got to be guts.
Guts is correct. He had guts the whole time.
No guts, no glory.
Yeah. And Deadpool number 11, we see how Michael's doing in blank. Is it A, hell, B, heaven, or C, the Phantom Zone? So it's either A, hell, or B, no, something, heaven.
He's in hell.
Yes, yes!
Yeah!
He is in hell. $25 for you, sir. Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
Nice. Great job.
Unbelievable.
Way to stay topical, Pete. And way to make him compliment your slippers.
I didn't make him. He
your
just
filthy,
did that.
Rotten slippers.
What are you talking about? Guys. Filthy?
Guys. You've been walking around in those for 6 months.
Dude,
on the streets of New York.
That is not true. I wish.
You wish?
I wear them only for the show.
You wish? You wish.
Speaking
you
of wishes,
you're going to be a great, crazy person in 2 weeks.
Speaking of wishes, it's time to find out what we wish to get at the comic book store this
month.
Yeah! Alex showed up on a Segway. Did you notice that? He pulled right up on a Segway.
Because, I don't know, I lost my train of thought. Thank you. So
you lost your
we were
train,
sponsored by
you lost your train
Comics.
Drops of Jupiter, though?
Did you want to say
yeah,
that?
We're sponsored by Midtown Comics. I'm looking forward to Invincible number 103.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, any particular reason?
It's been an amazing series, and I want to see. I mean, there's a big fight on the moon happening, and I want to see who wins.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Who wins the moon, guys?
Who wins the moon?
I mean,
radiated skeleton.
Obvious answer.
Cheese wins the moon?
Yeah.
You've lost your mind. I'm looking forward to, I got to say, I'm looking forward to Age of Ultron number 10, the final issue coming out. This series...
You've been a little hot and cold about this series.
I have been, but I feel like the last three issues have really been good. I feel like the first five or so were a little bit like, oh, let's move a little faster. But the last three, we're really actually getting into some story, and I have no idea how it's going to turn out, which is always exciting. So I am going to read that first tomorrow. It's polybagged. Oh, that's negative. That's a negative. Finally, is there a Marvel Masterverse trading card inside?
Does anybody
please?
No, I wish they would make comics that were just polybags.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't just even have polybags. Comics inside. They were just bags that were sealed. I could open them up. Because that's the most fun part of the comic.
I love just tearing them apart.
Yeah. Ugh.
I just got to complete my collection of the Hildebrandt Brothers Marvel Masterworks. Am I remembering? I literally haven't thought those words for 15 years.
My looking forward to is actually a little bit more of a recommendation because Suicide Risk number 1 is getting a second printing tomorrow. I completely missed it the first time. Read it, I think, about a week ago, and it's awesome. It's a book by Mike Carey.
Is it a pamphlet?
What?
It's a pamphlet?
Yeah, it's a pamphlet, and it shows you to follow Superman. He has the way.
Yeah. No, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. So Suicide Risk, book by Mike Carey. It takes place in a world where all the superheroes have died. There's all these supervillains. The cops are just trying to hold things back. And this one cop decides he's kind of had enough. And that's all I want to tell you about it because there are great surprises throughout the first issue. It was a lot of fun. It was a really good surprise when I read it. So I hope you guys go out and pick up the second printing.
Is that cop Danny Glover?
I didn't know it's too old. Surprises.
It's not they have. We
shouldn't spoil, but it's Reginald Vail Johnson from Family Guy.
From the comic Invincible?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Dan, what are you looking forward to?
I think there's a Doctor Who title, which is Doctor Who Volume 3, which is coming out next week. I'm not entirely
it's not
sure.
There.
Oh no. Okay. Wait. No, yes. Doctor Who, Volume 3, Number 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know which stuff that'll be. But
nice.
There we go. And what should people check out that you're doing?
There'll be Wizards vs. Aliens this weekend, and I'll be in New York on Friday doing some signing.
There we go.
And that's once again at Stone Creek.
Yeah.
It's the signings at the Who York?
Yes, Who York.
At Stone Creek on 27th and Lex here in Manhattan.
Great. Yeah.
And of course, we'll see you in the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special, right?
Well, you can't possibly comment.
Wow. Oh, so real sneaky, Alexander Zalbin.
Thanks.
Spike your football and let's close up this show.
Next week on the show, Charles Soule and Dennis Calero are going to be here talking about their Batman digital comic. We'll also, of course, ask Charles plenty of questions about his new title.
So many. How can he continue doing more titles for
Superman,
DC?
Wonder Woman. He's doing actual DC legitimized slash fiction, which is I'm pretty excited about. So that's going to be kind of awesome.
But they're talking about their Batman digital comic, and they are always a fun time. So
they are.
That's
so that should be great. Also, let's thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tamer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out, comicbookclublive.com and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Of course, also YouTube.com/Nerdist for the video show. World War Z should be going up on Thursday or Friday.
Thursday evening.
But Thursday evening, check it out, or Friday. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's just work hard.
Yeah. There you go. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Dan Starkey for being here.
Boothman.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys out in the audience. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Fontana's. Totally free. Tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, guys.